Our scripture reading this morning comes from Zechariah chapter 1, from Zechariah chapter 1. Zechariah, a small book in the Old Testament near the end. Zechariah, then Malachi, and then the New Testament. So if you find the book of Matthew, go backwards two books, you'll find Zechariah chapter 1. And I'm going to read for us the first 10 verses of Zechariah chapter 1. When you get there, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word, both here in the building and at home? Would you please stand with us as we read God's Word? Zechariah chapter 1, the first six verses. Hear now the word of the Lord. In the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, son of Iddo, saying, "The Lord was very angry with your fathers. Therefore say to them, 'Thus declares the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts.' Do not be like your fathers, to whom the former prophets cried out, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, return from your evil ways and from your evil deeds.' But they did not hear or pay attention to me, declares the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants the prophets, did they not overtake your fathers? So they repented and said, 'As the Lord of hosts purposed to deal with us for our ways and deeds, so has he dealt with us.'" This ends the reading of God's word. Before we go to prayer, as you've noticed, we use this time of prayer also for a pastoral prayer. And I do want to just say as we go to prayer, it's a strange year for our high school graduates, and with us not having a high school graduation service, I do want to say congratulations to Grant Easton. Congratulations, Grant, on your high school graduation. Grant's worshiping at home. Can we just applaud for Grant and give thanks to the Lord? Congratulations, Grant, and well done. Let's go to the Lord now in prayer. Father, indeed, we give thanks to you. For Grant, we give thanks to you for his high school graduation and for already his acceptance into what's next, and pray for courage and strength and for you to lead him, for you to bless him, and that, Father, he would find joy and celebration through his family, his friends, through his church family, even in this time. And, Father, it is a strange time. This last many days we've watched the protests in our country and in our world. And Father, as we come before you, we do know that Black Lives Matter to you because you made humanity in your image, because you made humanity in your likeness and crowned us with glory and with honor. We know, Father, that you grieve at the death of your image bearers, men like George Floyd and women like Breonna Taylor. And so, Father, we ask that you would help us grieve as you grieve. And, Father, as we navigate our responses, you've told us in your word what is good, what is required of us, to love mercy, to live justly, to walk humbly with you. And so help us, Father, as your people, as your light bearers in this world, help us to show forth your loving kindness and mercy, and to bind up the brokenhearted. Help us, Father, to love justly, to love justice, to live justly, to advocate for those who suffer, for those who are oppressed. Help us, Father, to be your light in this world. Would you make us agents of reconciliation? As the Apostle Paul reminds us, we've been reconciled to you through Jesus Christ, and you've made us your ambassadors of reconciliation. Help us, Father, to labor to see people reconciled to you and to each other. We know, Father, that living and loving like Jesus, that it begins by humbling ourselves before you. And so we come before you in your word. Would you meet us here in it? Whatever we're experiencing in our hearts and our lives, would you meet us here in your word? Open our eyes to see, open our ears to hear, open our hearts to understand. Cause us, Father, here in your word to know you more, that we might love you better, and so love like you love. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In 1997, J.K. Rowling published the first of the Harry Potter books. Incredibly popular, immediately popular, kids and adults alike devouring the books. But here's the thing. You'd finish the first book, and then you'd have to wait a whole year before the next book came out. And at first, it was every year. But then, as the series moved on, the space between got longer. Every other year. At one point, even 3 years. And so when a new book would come out, there's this flurry of reading. Right? People would rush to buy the book, and then they'd sequester themselves in their room for the weekend in order to read it as fast as possible, because you don't want to risk one of your friends spoiling the ending. And then you'd have this whole year to reflect on it. You'd talk about it with your friends, with your family. And then another friend would pick it up. He'd say, "Well, you haven't read it yet?" And then you'd get to relive the whole story, as every time you see your friends, "Where are you now? What's happening now?" And you get to relive the story yet again. The next book's about to come out, and maybe you'd reread it one more time, again reflecting on, revisiting the story. Today, all the books are out. And so when you finish the first book, you just jump into the second. You can buy it on your e-reader and your Kindle. Just buy it as a series. It'll just go book to book to book to book. No waiting, no pondering, no reflection. Just consume the story one right after another. We've just started a 5-week series called Emerging from the Storm. And my proposal for this series is this. When we binge through life, when we simply move from one experience to the next, from one encounter to the next, when we binge through life without stopping to reflect, we stunt our spiritual growth. And it is what we do, isn't it? We move from one story to the next. We move from one episode to the next. We move from one relationship or experience to the next without reflection, without stopping to say, what is the Lord saying to us? What is the Lord doing in us? And all of us this morning, we're interacting with storms in our life in one way or another. Some of us are just now entering a new storm. Some of us are emerging out of a storm. Some of us are right smack in the middle of a storm. Wherever you are this morning, whatever storm you're going through, spiritual growth happens when we stop and reflect. Who is God? What's God doing? What's he saying to us through his word for these circumstances? Spiritual growth happens when we stop and reflect. And a key part of that reflection is repentance. As I mentioned, we're in the midst of this 5-week series called Emerging from the Storm. And we're looking at the story of the people of Israel, the people of God in the Old Testament, after their exile in Babylon. After they had suffered incredibly as a community, suffered incredibly as families and as individuals, and as they emerge from the storm of exile, what can we learn from the people of Israel about us coming out of a storm? How do we draw nearer to Jesus through the storms of life? Each of these 5 weeks for this series look at a different step in this process of emerging from the storm toward spiritual growth. So last week we looked at reflection. Today, repentance. Next week, responding to God, rebuilding, reaching out. Each week, a different step of emerging from a storm in the process of spiritual growth. Today, we're going to look at repentance. And as we move forward, repent, the prophet Zechariah says to the people of God, repent, he says, because storms remind us that time is short. Repent, because storms remind us that only God's word endures. Repent, because actually storms are an invitation to repent, an invitation to turn more and more toward Jesus Christ. Time is short, only God's word endures, and storms are an invitation to turn more and more to Jesus. So repent. First this morning, the prophet Zechariah tells us that storms remind us that our time is short. Now, when the book of Zechariah begins, the people of Israel, they've just returned from exile in Babylon. Now, for decades, the people of Israel have been prisoners in a foreign land. They had been stripped of their homes, they'd been stripped of their families, they'd been stripped of their culture. But now finally they've been able to come back home. The Persian army defeated Babylon. The Persian king Cyrus by name, he sends the Israelites back to their homeland. And yet even still, in the recent years before the book of Zechariah, the world had still been in this season of unrest and turmoil. King Cyrus dies, and a usurper tries to take the throne. But finally, civil war ensues. Another ruler takes over, tries to establish peace. But what happens when you have a new ruler? Everyone wants to test the new ruler's authority. So unrest and rebellion, they spread throughout the land. But just before the book of Zechariah, at last, peace seems to be settling on the world. And yet the cities of Israel are still in ruins. Their lives still need to be rebuilt. Yes, some peace has come upon the land, but they're just now coming out of several storms. And as they emerge, the very first words from the prophet Zechariah, the very first words to these people rebuilding their lives, it's a call to repentance. Repent, Zechariah says, because our time is short. Look at verses 4 and 5. Don't be like your fathers, the prophet says. They heard the word of the Lord from the prophets, but they did not listen. The prophets of old said, turn from your evil ways, turn from your evil deeds. But your fathers did not hear. They did not pay attention to the Lord. Your fathers, they endured the storms, right? Even the great and terrible storm of exile, they endured the storms, but they did not pay attention. Now look at verse 5. Where are your fathers? They've all died, the prophet's reminding them. They passed away. You're not going to live forever, he says. Let that sink in, people of God. You're not going to live here forever. Time is short. Life is short. You keep reading, the prophet goes on, stay in verse 5. What about the prophets? Do they live forever? He said, even the prophets have died. The preachers, the pastors, the spiritual leaders that you so rely on, they don't live forever either. And we've seen this, haven't we? Billy Graham, R.C. Sproul, Ravi Zacharias, they've all died. You won't be here forever, and our spiritual leaders won't be here forever. Time is short. Life is short. So repent, the prophet says. I think for us, what we ought to see here is this, that the storms of life come, right? Life happens. Hardship, crisis, trial, difficult things. The storms of life, they happen. And God uses them to get our attention, to remind us the time is short. You might be called to stand before him at any moment. Your life required of you at any time. Death can come suddenly, quickly, unexpectedly. And the Bible says after death comes judgment. We will stand before God and give an account for our lives. This is the call to repent. When the storms of life happen, when hard things, when tragedy, when crisis occur, they are calls to us to take stock of our lives. What really matters? What's truly worthwhile in this life? You see, the storms of life, they have this way of stripping away life down to what really matters. And so, people of God, life is short. Our ancestors died. The prophets and preachers and spiritual leaders of past generations, they too have died. And so what, if anything, lasts? What remains? What will endure? Well, the prophet tells us. He tells us the word of God endures. You keep reading in verse 5. Still in verse 5, the prophet Zechariah, he reminds the people of God, your ancestors died. Even the spiritual leaders of previous generations, they too have passed from this life. So what, if anything, endures? Look what the prophet says in verse 6. But my words, says the Lord, but my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants the prophets, did they not overtake your fathers? The Lord God, through the prophet Zechariah, says, even though everyone and everything passes away, the word of God stands forever. forever. Now, as we look at this verse, this is kind of a strange phrase, my word overtook them. It's a little strange, isn't it? It's likely actually an echo or reflection upon Deuteronomy chapter 28. So the book of Deuteronomy, it's the fifth book of the Bible. It's set up like a last speech from Moses, that same Moses who led the people out of Israel or out of Egypt at the Exodus. And the people of Israel, they're about to enter into the promised land. And Moses in Deuteronomy, he's reminding the people, stay faithful to the Lord. When you go into the land, when you build up your lives, stay faithful to the Lord. But if you don't stay faithful to the Lord, this is the end of Deuteronomy 28, most of 29. These two chapters, they outline the consequences for disobeying the Lord, consequences for abandoning our relationship to Jesus. And as Moses outlines these consequences in Deuteronomy chapter 28, they're framed by these words. These words will overtake you. My words will overtake you. I think the point here in Zechariah is this. The Lord does what he says he will do. The Lord does what he says he will do. His word does not fade. His word does not grow outdated. It does not become irrelevant, and his promises do not expire. Let me say that one more time. The Lord, his word does not fade. It does not grow outdated. It does not become irrelevant, and his promises do not expire. Now, of course, situations change. Of course, our lives change. Eventually, we die, as the prophet reminds us. But the word of the Lord stands forever. It's the only thing that does. It's the only thing that lasts. It's the only thing we can trust. It's the only thing we can stand on. It's the only constant in life. The word of God endures. Loved ones, the storms of life, they have a way of stripping us down to what really matters. They remind us that our time is short, that this life and so much in this life, it's fragile and it washes away in the storms of life. But the Word of God is a rock that we can stand on through any storm. Storms remind us the Word of God endures forever. Storms have a way of stripping life down to what really matters. They remind us time is short. And they remind us that the only thing that endures is the Word of God. Storms, then, are an invitation to turn more and more toward Jesus. They are an invitation to repent. Repent. The opening words of the prophet Zechariah to the people of God, as they emerge from this major storm of exile, from civil and political unrest, as they emerge from personal tragedy, as they emerge from a time of transition, the opening words from the prophet are these, verse 3. Return to the Lord, and I will return to you. Return to the Lord, and I will return to you. This is the invitation of repentance. It's an invitation of restoration and reconciliation. It's an invitation for healing in our relationship with God, peace between God and us. It's an invitation for restoration and reconciliation. It's an invitation to presence and to intimacy. Remember, folks, the prophet here, the Lord himself is declaring he desires relationship with us, intimacy and connection and communion. It's an invitation to intimacy and presence, and it's an invitation to eternity. And so the prophet reminds us that this life and all that is in it will pass away. Where are your fathers? Where are the prophets? But even though everything else passes away, the word of God endures. And even more than that, those who stand on the word of God, they too endure. This is an invitation to eternity. That's the invitation of repentance. It's an invitation to reconciliation and restoration, an invitation to presence and intimacy with God. It's an invitation to eternity, to eternal life. And all this comes through repentance. Return to me, the Lord of hosts says, and I will return to you. That's repentance. And repentance, It's made possible because of Jesus Christ, right? Through his perfect, sinless life, through his death in our place on the cross, through his resurrection from the grave 3 days later as he conquered sin and conquered death and conquered darkness, through Jesus Christ, repentance is now possible. Because he reconciles us to God. Because he restores us to the presence of God, to that presence and that intimacy. Because through Jesus Christ, he gives us eternal life. This is the invitation of repentance. You see, friends, storms, they have a way of stripping life down to what really matters. The storms of life remind us life is short. The storms of life remind us that only the word of God will stand forever. And therefore, the storms of life, they're an invitation to repent, an invitation to turn more and more to the Lord Jesus Christ, more and more toward Jesus, where we find restoration, where we find presence and intimacy, where we find eternity, all through Jesus Christ. If you're joining us for the first time this morning, we're in week two of this five-week series called Emerging from the Storm. It's a series designed to help us stop and reflect on whatever storm you find yourself in, whether you're entering a storm, emerging from a storm, or right smack in the middle of a storm. And to go along with our series, I've put together some daily reflections that help us slow down and help us ask ourselves, what is God doing in me through this season of life? We've emailed those reflections out, but if you don't get our emails or if you didn't get the reflection, please reach out to the church office. We'd be glad to forward those on to you. They'll also be linked to the recording of the video on our YouTube page. And people of God, I want to encourage you, have courage as you engage the reflections this week, because repentance is really hard. It takes courage to look at our hearts and lives and to turn more and more toward Jesus. But that's the goal, isn't it? To turn more and more toward Jesus. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we give thanks to you for your word and for the example that we see in the life of Israel, your people, as they emerge from this incredible storm, this crisis of having lost everything and then being brought back to your land as you had promised them. Thank you, Father, that we see as we emerge from the storm, your call takes stock of our lives and to turn more and more to you and more away from the things of this life and this world. So Lord, would you give us courage to repent? Even now as we come before your table and practice repentance, turn us more and more to Jesus. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen.